Gudvach, Gudvach. Okay, I hope this works. Hear me? You're able to hear me? It's okay. So first I want to thank the sponsors. The names are being put on the screen. To thank all the sponsors, the chevra who are helping, and all the chevra that set up. I was just telling my son, Lobinyamin, I still miss the old days of Shabbos HaGodol on Shabbos HaGodol. But I understand that concessions have to be made to technology and be able to reach people that otherwise wouldn't be able to be here. But I really, really hope that next year we'll be able to be someplace nice in Yerushalayim, maybe outdoors in some big park, and we can get together and Shabbos HaGodol. Pesach, Tavshin Pei Aleph. Pesach, Tavshin Pei Aleph. Seems like Pesach Tavshin Pei was 20 years ago. Seems like it was such a long time ago. Every word that I'm going to say now for the next hour and 10 minutes or so, is about Pesach Tavshin Pei Aleph, not Tavshin Pei, not Pei Beis, for sure not. Tavshin Pei Aleph. I don't know if there'll be time at the end to explain exactly what I mean by that, but each one of you will understand, I believe, what I'm talking about. B'zoicha this year to have Erev Pesach and Shabbos is a gewaldig zchiya. It's been 13 years since we had that. It's a gewaldig zchiya. The light of Pesach Tavshin Pei Aleph, where Erev Pesach is Shabbos, of course, is traced back to the sugya in the Bavli, Pesachim Samach Vav Amar Aleph. With the Gemara describes a strange problem. The Gemara tells us that the Chachamim in Yerushalayim were having a difficulty remembering the halachas of Erev Pesach, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. They were having a hard time remembering the halachas. Tana Rabbana, halachas unis alma b'nei b'seira. Halachas unis alma b'nei b'seira b'gadoli hador. They were great Tamid Chacham, great Tzadikim. And this halacha of whether or not the Korban Pesach is Doiche Shabbos. This Alma man. They didn't remember what to do. This lapse of memory is astonishing. The B'nai Sosra Skuslani speaks about it, B'derech Remez, the fourth Maimer of Nisan, and it's Kedai. It's not every year that we have such a Pesach. It's Kedai to take a look there. How could it be? How could they have forgotten? The Gemara says, "Pam achas chala boros aliyos b'Shabbos." It happened that the 14th, like this year, the 14th was on Shabbos. And shochu v'leyodu and Pesach doiches haShabbos imlav. They forgot. They didn't know. Is the Korban Pesach doiches Shabbos or not? So they were asking around, is there anybody here that can help us, that knows the answer to this question? So finally, there is a Jew who is able to answer this question, who came from Bavel. V'Hillel HaBavli Shemai, and his name is Hillel HaBavli, Hillel. And Hillel answered the question, how he did, it's in the Gemara. He answered the question that the Korban Pesach is Doiche Shabbos. And there was so nispoil from this that on that very same day, he was appointed to be the Nasi of the Bezna Gadol. It's not half of the good thing. Historically, and even in halacha, I'll just mention something. I always like that there should be some halacha in the Shabbos HaGadol. So I'll just mention something very, very briefly. How this is nogeya to halacha. The ascension of Hillel HaBavli to the Nesiyas. Everybody knows that Shalosh Sudos, this Erev Pesach, is confusing. And there are different shitas among the poskim have to deal with the requirement for Shalosh Sudos. Shulchan Aruch, Svardim don't have a problem really. They could have Matzah Ashira, Egg Matzahs. The Ramad doesn't allow such a thing, L'chadchila. So one can do without having bread. It's possible to have pears or some other foods. The Magen Avraham, which most Ashkenazim follow, the Magen Avraham holds to have two sudas in the morning to finish davening early. That's what we're going to do here, and to have two sudas with a break in between the two sudas. In this way, even though it's not the time for Shalosh Sudos, but we could at least be, I'd say, the mitzvah of having the three sudas of Shabbos. So we take the one suda and we divide into two. The Aruch HaShulchan brings from the Zohar Kodesh, the truth is it's found also in the Meiri, in Pesachim Daf Yud Gimel. The Meiri writes that in such a year, there's no Shalosh Sudos. Sometimes it happens, you know, Shabbos could be Yom Kippur also, there's no Shalosh Sudos. No. What are you going to do? But the Zohar Kodesh says such a thing. The Zohar says that on such a Erev Pesach, the Rabbi Shimon would say Torah. The Rabbi Shimon would say Torah. How could that be? The Chassam Sofer, in a few of his drushes, in Chav Hei and Lamed Hei, Chassam Sofer, in a few of his drushes, brings from Chazal, the Sifri, Sifra, also a Rosh and Shabbos. But we find a remarkable thing. That Pesach in the Midbar of Ayi Yom HaShmini, that we're going to learn now, the Chassam Sofer makes a cheshbon. Again, it's rooted in Chazal. That Pesach in the Midbar, Vayi Yom HaShmini, that Pesach, when the Mishkan was first up and working and running, that Pesach came out like this year. Erev Pesach was on Shabbos that year. And not only that, Chassam Sofer shows that the first Pesach that we had when we came into Eretz Yisrael was also such a Pesach, that Erev Pesach was on Shabbos. So Chassam Sofer says that Erev Pesach, when it comes out in such a way on Shabbos, is shining with the light of Geula, of Eretz Yisrael, of when we first came into the first Pesach, the light of the 7 days of creation. The light of Geula is very, very strong. More so than any other of the regular years. This year, the light of Geula is very, very strong. So we came into Eretz Yisrael Pesach. So one of the Chassam Sofer's Eniklach, it was a great Pesach, just died a few years ago. Rav Nosson Gishtetner, Zecher Tzadik Levrache. So Rav Nosson suggests that since the Inyan of Shalosh Sudos, Chazal tell us, is that it saves us from Chevli Mashiach. And when it comes out, Erev Pesach and Shabbos, the light of Mashiach is burning, is shining very brightly. That there is such a possibility that could be that that's what Rabbi Shimon, that with the Torah of Rabbi Shimon, that even though it wasn't the regular Shalosh Sudos, not to eat Shalosh Sudos. Because the Ha'or of Geula, which is the Inyan of Shalosh Sudos, is stronger in such a year. Chassam Sofer himself said that it's not a coincidence that Hillel was appointed on that day to be the Nasi. Because that meant the reinstitution of what? Me'ein Malchus Beis David. Because Hillel HaNasi, Hillel HaZakin is a descendant of David Malka Mashiach, of David HaMelech. And since Erev Pesach, when it comes out on Shabbos, the aura of Gula of the original Pesach is very, very strong. Therefore, there was in Isarus the La'ela, the Chassam Sofer teaches us, that when they heard that, and they understood who he was, that he was from David HaMelech, that Hillel was a descendant of David HaMelech, Miyad, they immediately appointed him to be the Nasi. Ma'al and Simik Tseyar, as the Chassam Sofer says on such a thing, that the Nasi came from the end of the earth, from Bavel, from the world of confusion, and came to Yerushalayim, and Hillel became the Nasi on that day. Let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us that after this happened, they had other questions. They had other questions regarding the halachas of Erev Pesach Shabbos. Amar lo Rebbe, shachach v'lehevi sakin me'erev Shabbos mahu. What happens if a knife was not prepared? The person forgot to bring the knife to shech the Korban Pesach on Erev Shabbos. What does he do? You're not allowed to carry, so what's he going to do? Amar lahen, so Hillel HaZakin said, halacha zu shamati v'shachachti. I once heard this halacha. I don't remember. I learned this halacha, but I don't remember it. But we could trust Jews. Regular Jews, if they're not themselves Nevi'im, they're the children, they're the descendants of prophets, of Nevi'im. Let's go see. L'machar, Misha Pischai Tlai, tomorrow we'll see. Person who's bringing a Karm Pesach as a shapsel, a sheep, a lamb. Taichvay b'tzamaro. If the knife, the way that they were going is they would keep the knife. The old Jews that saw it once, they remembered, so they put the knife into the wool of the animal. Roa Maisiv and Iska Halacha. So Hillel HaZakin saw this and he remembered, oh, that's the Halacha. But Omar, he said, Kach mekubalani mipi Shmai v'Avtalian. That's taka what I heard from Shmai and Avtalian. That if you forget to bring the knife and have it ready before Shabbos, you put the knife in such a way in the animal. In the wool of the animal. So I want to talk about this. Pesach Tavshin Pei Aleph. I've spoken about it many, many times, but in the context of this year, what has happened this year and what's happening now, this inyan of Hanach Lahem Li Yisrael, that means us. And the Gadol Hador, the Bnei B'Seir, and the Hillel, the Gadol Hador, all the Gadol Hador didn't know what to do. And Hillel said, let's see what Amcha Beis Yisrael, let's see what Jews are doing, the Alta Yidden, let's see what they do. Oh. Ramayis Kevinitska Halacha, Kach Mekublani. So let's turn for a moment to another famous event that took place in our history that you're all much more familiar with than this. Ma'is Sebi Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Rebbe Akiva Rebbe Tav, and Shoyim Yisub Mibnei Brak. So the Tanoim, the Chachmei HaMishneh, were sitting in Bnei Brak, and they were telling the story of Tisayim Kaleis HaLayla, at Shabbat, Talmideim, Vormalehem, until their students came. It must be that one of the Talmidim was Rabbi Shimon also. Rabbi Shimon was a big Talmud from Rabbi Akiva. So it must be that he was there, Rabbi Shimon, at Shabbat, Talmideim, Vormalehem. Rabbi said, Higi is my creation, Moshe Shachris. And there's another story that you all know from the end of Marcus. About four Gedolei Olam. Three of them were those who were present at the famous Seder in Bnei Brak after the Churban. It's the end of Makkos. You all know it. I'm just going to say it over. Shuv pam Machas Hayoilin LiYushalayim. B'chol was a chiddush that they were able to get into Yushalayim. I don't know what kind of an Yeshur they were able to get from the Romans to be able to even get to Yerushalayim at that time. Jews were not permitted, really. So they went to Yerushalayim. Kevin Shigil Arat Saifim, Koru Big Dayim. When they reached Harat Saifim and they saw the Mokim HaMikdash, they raised Kriya, they tore their clothing. Kevin Shigil Harabayis. And when they reached the Harabayis, Rosh Shual, Shiyotzim, Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, they saw a fox running out, an animal running out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. His Chilo Hein Boichin, Rabbi Kiva Metzachek. They began to cry. And Rabbi Kiva was laughing. You have to remember that Rabbi Kiva's clothing were also torn. Rabbi Kiva also raised Kriya. Rabbi Kiva was also overwhelmed and broken by the horrible sight that he saw, what had become of the Harabayas, of the Beis HaMikdash. But there was something that was always different about Rabbi Kiva. The others were crying, Rabbi Kiva Metzachek. So all of these Tanoim, were survivors of Oysa Halayla. Just like Rabbi Kiva, they were survivors of the Churban. But Rabbi Kiva is laughing, standing there in his torn clothing. Rabbi Kiva is laughing. It's been a little bit over a year since my father was Nifta, Zecharon Levracha, and Kaparos Mishkafai. And I grew up wondering about him and other Jews who lived through Oysa Halayla that night between 1939 and 1945. Even though after the Milchama, those who survived were able to buy regular suits and regular shirts, regular clothing, but what we couldn't see with our eyes, of course, physically, is that their clothing was always torn. They never ever sewed back together those garments that were torn as a result of Kol Oysa Halayla, the parents, the brothers, the sisters, the children, the rebellion, all that was destroyed, the shuls, the yeshivas, the cities. And I grew up wondering also, I still think about it a lot, as you can tell. How did those Jews go on laughing and enjoying life while they were wearing torn clothing? How did they go on in such a way? So they didn't understand. His chaverim didn't understand. They couldn't do that. They couldn't live. They were overcome. So they asked Rabbi Kiva, "Mipnei ma'at metzachek, why are you laughing? How are you laughing? Mipnei ma'at metzachek." So he asked them, why are you crying? And when he asked them, why are you crying? Rabbi Kiva was also crying. This conversation needs to be understood. B'bnei mata tzoichek, b'bnei mata mboichem. So you know the answer. Amrulai. What do you mean, why are we crying? Amrulai mokim shekosuv bai. The very place that the Pasuk says, mokim shekosuv bai, where it says in Bamidbar, Bazar HaKarev Yumas, that a Zayr who walks over there, who goes into that place, is Chayev Misa. That's what it says about that place, Hazar HaKarev Yumas, and it's been defiled. It's been destroyed. It's not Jews that walked in. It's our enemies who hate us. And it says in Pasuk, Hazar HaKarev Yumas. Mokim shekosu boi, v'hazar HaKarev Yumas, v'achshav shualim hilchu boi. And now there are animals running around. Shualim are running around over there by the Mokim HaMikdash. V'loi nivke. So there's a plia atzuma. There's a very, very remarkable thing. A diuk in this Gemara. I spoke about it once many years ago. Rabbi Kiva's Chaverim quoted Tupsukim. They quoted Tupsukim. The first pasuk is Hazar HaKarev Yumas. Mokim Shekosuv by the place regarding which it says in Chumash Hazar HaKarev Yumas. That's the first pasuk. The second pasuk they quoted was from where? From Eicha. Al Hartziyin Sheshomei Al Zehoya Davi Libeinu Al Eilachoshu Einenu Al Hartziyin Sheshomeim Shualim Hilchuba. That was the second pasuk that they quoted. The question is, why is it that when they cited the first pasuk of Hazar HaKarev Yumas, they gave him our mokum? They said mokum shekosuv boy. The place regarding which it is written. Mokim Shekosuv, it says in Chumash. That's what they said. It says in Chumash, Hazar HaKarev Yumas. But when they said over the second surah, they didn't say Mokim Shekosuv by Al Hartziyin Sheshomeim Shualim Hilchu by. They just described what they saw with their eyes. They saw some animals running out of the Beis Kodesh Kadosh. See, here we have a Torah from one of the great Ga'onim who survived, the Sridei, Sheikh Sadev Kosh Levracha. That's why he called his Shuvah Sridei. The Sridei brings from the Gemara at the end of Ksub. The Gemara there is about Chavivus Ha'aretz, the great love that the Tanoim and Amorim had for Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara there brings how the Amorim tells about how Amorim would come to Eretz Yisrael and they would crawl on the ground and they would lick the dirt and kiss the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. And how there were others that came and they immediately began to try to work on the roads, to fix the roads. Stories. Then the Gemara says, "Rebchia bar Gamda, Miganda bar Afar." Rebchia bar Gamda was rolling in the dirt when he came to the border, and he crossed into Eretz Yisrael. He was rolling in the dirt. Shenemar. As it is written, Kirotsu avadechos avoneo v'safor yichoynenu. It says in Pasuk, your servants have cherished her stones and loved her dust, her dirt. What does Rashi say over here? Rashi says absolutely nothing. Now, there are many places in the Gemara where Rashi doesn't comment, but he does comment. He just says absolutely nothing. What Rashi does over here is he just writes the pasuk, Ki rotsu avadecha es avaneha v'safar yichoynenu. He just writes the pasuk. It's so strange that there are many who believe that this is a toz sefer, that's a mistake in the Gemara. But for some reason, whoever printed the Gemara, there's research that's been done about that, but it doesn't bear out. It's in all of Rashi's, everywhere in Rashi, all the printings of Rashi. Rashi wrote down the pasuk, but he doesn't explain anything about the pasuk. There's one thing that Rashi did. The Sri Deis says a goyinus. What did Rashi do? He took out the word Shenemar. It is written. In other words, his comment on the pasuk is, that the reason, this is the way the Sri Deish understands, his comment on the pasuk is that the reason that the tzaddik, that Rabbi Chir Bar Gamda, threw himself onto the floor and was rolling in the dirt and howling and crying and kissing it with great affection and love, all of this together, was not because it's Shenemar. Wasn't because it was written. It was a spontaneous, the Sri Deish says, is a spontaneous reaction to what he saw with his own eyes. His whole life he was dreaming and longing of coming to Eretz Yisrael. Not like us, you, where there's a shaila whether you'd be able to go back or not go back. Or you want to go for a Shabbos. His whole life, crying and begging and davening to Hashem. And finally the big day is here. And he's overwhelmed. At that moment he didn't stop and say, oh, the Taka says in the Pasuk, that when you come to the border, or there are that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, there is such a minhag, there's an inyan, there's a zach, there's an inyan, that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, I tried to do the first time we went to Eretz Yisrael, I went with my father, and he kicked me in my behind when I did it. He said, get up. Because I had heard that's a chashuva thing to do. So in the airport, in those years, you used to get down from the airplane, and I went on the oily thing, And I leaned over to bend down. My father just gave me a kick. He says, get up. I wasn't overwhelmed with a longing for Eretz Yisrael. I had heard that this was a cool thing to do. I heard about it. I heard stories about it. It was a quote that had somehow caught my attention. I didn't remember the words, but I knew that it was an inyan. The Sri Deish says that Rashi brings down the words. He takes out the word Shene'emar, it is written. His commentary, hear this, his commentary on what happened that day was, you want to understand what was going on with Rabbi Chiya. It wasn't that he had read, he had heard. It wasn't an inyan. It was something that he was living at that moment. It was something that was burning inside of him. It was something that he couldn't hold back. He couldn't hold himself back from doing. He collapsed onto the floor and was crying and kissing the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Not because Shene'emar. And the Sri Deish says, that's Rashi's pshat in what happened. What the Sweet Ace is telling us is there are two ways of being Jews. There are two types of Yiddishkeit. There's a Yiddishkeit that's called Shenemar, Mishum Shenemar, which of course we all have to try to learn whatever we can. And there's no question that Rabbi Chiya knew the Pasuk. But there's a Yiddishkeit that because it's written, I go to Shachris. Because it's written, I keep Shabbos. Because it's written, I honor my parents. Because it's written, Kach Nemar. That's one kind of Yiddishkeit. There's another kind of Yiddishkeit, which is not a Yiddishkeit of Shekach Nemar, because it is written, but a Yiddishkeit of because it's who I am. It's like when the Mizritchim Agit first came to the Baal Shem HaKadosh. I'm sure many of you know the story. I'm not going to go through the whole story. Mr. Jamagat had been thinking about a certain question that he had on a Zohar HaKadosh. He was a huge genius and a huge makubal, the Mr. Jamagat, and he heard about the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. That story is... But he came to the Baal Shem, and this was a piece of the Zohar that was keeping the Mr. Jamagat up at night. When he walked into the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, he saw that the Zohar was open to that page. That very piece of Zohar that he was working on. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said to him, "Nu, you have a pshat in the Zohar?" So the different gerses in the story, whether he did say a certain pshat, a goinish pshat. And then Mizritch Magid then said, "And Rebbe, what about you? What's the pshat in the Zohar Kodesh?" Then the next thing Mizritch Magid knew is that the entire room was on fire. And that he was engulfed in this unbelievable fire. It was a pachad, how he survived. And without going into the protum, the Baal Shem Tov told him, "You were saying a pshat in the Zohar. I went into the Zohar. I lived this piece of the Zohar." So, the chaverim of Rabbi Akiva, they were as great in their knowledge of Tanakh as Rabbi Akiva. Remember, the Torah of Rabbi Blas Yeshua, that these are his rebellion. These are his teachers, Rabbi Akiva's teachers. So there's no question that they knew the psukim. They knew what it says in Bamidbar, Hazar Karev Yumas, and they also knew the pasuk in Eicha, which they cited, Shualim Hilchu Bay, Al Hartzion Sheshamim, Shualim Hilchu Bay. But at that moment that they were standing there, they were caught up in an unbelievable stira. Listen carefully, Chevron, an unbelievable stira, a paradox, a contradiction. It says in the Pasuk, Rabbi Shalom, it says in the Pasuk that anybody who goes into this place is going to die. Anybody who doesn't belong in this place is going to die. That's what it says in the Pasuk. That's what you wrote in your Torah. That's what we learned in Cheder. And we believed in that. And we were raised believing in it. And all of our lives we taught it. And we believed it. Kach ne'amar. You said it in your Torah and we believe in your Torah. Kach ne'amar. It's written. Hazor Karev Yuma. And we believe in that, and we know that, with our belief, we know that one day it's going to be Mekuyim, and it's going to be rebuilt, And it's going to be reinstated, this law of Azar Karav Yumas, and the Kahanim are going to be working in the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. And the Levim are going to be singing, and it's going to be Gevaldik. We believe that. But Sof Kol Sof, what they were saying is, we believe it because it's written in the Torah. We believe it because it's printed, it's in the Chumash. We believe it because it's found on Google. When you look up the Beis HaMikdash, it says Hazar Karav Yumas, and all of the other promises are written there. But Rabbi Akiva, Shualim Hilchu Boy is not a quotation. They didn't say Shenemar Shualim Hilchu Boy. They said, Akiva ben Yosef, open your eyes. You yourself are looking at the animals. There are animals that are tmeyim, shkotzim, that are running around by the Kodesh Kadoshim. You see with your own eyes. It's a nice pasuk, Hazar Karav Yumas. But shualim hilchu bay, the shkotzim, the yishmeilim that are there, that's not a pasuk. It's not just a pasuk. It's the Metzias that we're seeing with our eyes. That harsh reality overcame them. Shualim Hilchu Boy, they were saying, is not a pasuk. It's not just a pasuk. It was just a pasuk. And that pasuk has now been horribly fulfilled. And there are actually animals, as it says in the pasuk, and now there are animals that are running around on Beis HaMikdash. This isn't a movie about the Holocaust. This is not some memorial that has psukim on the wall. We're watching the shualim running around. V'loy nivka? V'loy nivka? We shouldn't cry? That horrible nevuah of shualim hilchu boy has been fulfilled in our lives, and we're watching this. And we, the survivors, are now looking at the ruins, and we're watching these shkotzim running around by the Kodesh Kadoshim. V'loy nivka? So you all know that Rabbi Akiva responded to this V'loy nivka with some more psukim. I'm not going to go through it, you know. Rabbi Akiva says, you believe in the fulfillment of that nevuah, and he brings other nevuahs, and the beautiful nevuah of the same Novi Zechariah who said, Sion sode techrash, the same Novi who said that Sion is going to be plowed down, which is what happened at that time. The Harbayus is plowed down. The same Novi Zechariah says what? Oid Yeshu was a Canaan, was a Canaan's Brachavis Yushalayim. That the day will come, there'll be old men and women sitting on the streets of Yushalayim and watching children playing in the streets of Yushalayim. Our children and grandchildren. We're going to be zoichet to see them play. Lachein ani metzachek. And therefore, I'm laughing. So again, more Tanakh, more Psukim. More Bekiyas. Rabbi Akiva is saying, based upon the three days that we learned, we could understand. What Rabbi Akiva is saying is, my heilige friends and teachers, I'm also a fellow survivor. You know that the survivors can't bear to hear those who weren't there talking about it. That's one of the things that they suffered from a great deal. My mother, she should live long, happy years. My mother never, ever could go to any of these Holocaust museums or any Yom HaShoah thing. She never, ever went. She couldn't bear to hear American rabbis get up and talk about it. She couldn't stand to watch filmmakers who made movies about the Holocaust. She couldn't watch it. She couldn't watch it. Naftali Lau or Yibor Menachem Lechaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, one of them in their books, I don't remember which book it was in, they wrote about how after the Milchama, the survivors were together over there, and there was a, and there was somebody, a rabbi that was sent from America, who came from America, and he got up and he started to give a drasha to them. And they were all looking the other way, and they were talking to each other, they weren't paying attention. And then there was another one of the survivors, some tzaddik that was there. I don't remember who it was. He just started to talk, and then all of them ran to him. All of them ran to him to hear every word that was coming out from his mouth. He was giving them chizik. Now, it could be that the polished American rabbi said a gevaldig drasha. But they couldn't hear it from him. So Rabbi Kiva says to his chaver, he says, "My rave rabbi, I was with you, Kolaisa Halayla. I lived through the night with you. I'm a fellow survivor. And the irony and the tragedy of the animals, the shkatzim running around, is not lost upon me. I get it. I was with you in the camps, and I survived somehow. And if you look at my coat, I also asked Kriya. My coat is also torn. I'm not any less tzibrochen than you. I remember my friends and family the same way that you do. I remember the yeshivas, the great academies, the same way that you do. I'm disgusted by looking at the shkatzim that are running around by the Kodesh Kadoshim, the same way that it makes you sick. But the only difference is that when I say the words of the Navi Zechariah, of Oyd Yesh v'Zakeinim v'Zakeinayim, when I say those words, that the days are coming, and they're going to be old men and women living to a ripe old age, sitting in Yerushalayim, laughing and watching the children playing. To me, Rabbi Kiva is saying, for me, it's not Shenemar. It's not something that's just written in Tanakh. It's not because there's a pasuk that says that, even though, of course, the pasuk does make that promise. It's not an idea. It's not a shir. Rabbi Kiva is saying to his chaverim, to his rebbeim, chaver, I'm begging you to come with me on this journey. A journey that's called Lo Yomus Ki Echya. Come with me to the Beis HaMedrash of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. You know, by the Beis HaMedrash of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and Shvi'i Shel Pesach. I'm sure many of you know that Shvi'i Shel Pesach by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, by Kriyas Yamsuf, they were all lifting up their coat. Why? Because they didn't want to get wet. Not because Shenemar, Hamayim lehem choyimam yiminim yismaylam. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh took them to such a place. The Kriyas Yamsuf wasn't a pasuk. It's a pasuk, but it wasn't just a pasuk. Rabbi Kiva is saying, the pasuk Tzion Sadeh Techrash, that Yerushalayim is going to be plowed over, and the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And Shualim Hilchubai, and there are going to be animals running around. I always read those psukim, and I dreaded that the day would come. And now all of us together are experiencing that terrible reality. That mitzvah. But because of that, you asked me why am I laughing. Because at this very moment, the same way that I'm experiencing the bitterness of the Moror, of the Shualim running around by the Churban, not because Shenemar, because we're actually watching these animals with our eyes. I'm begging you to come with me, close your eyes, you're on such a madrega, it's not just me. You and I can ascend to a place of emuna, of such emuna. We're those old people sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim. Our mom is sitting there this very moment. Where the children are playing on the streets of Yerushalayim, even though with our eyes we see animals running around, we see Yishmaelim, we see sickness in the world. You see, the Baruch Shalom is this year, Tavshin Pei Aleph. The Baruch Shalom is putting us through something that we never ever expected. With our eyes, we have watched thousands, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of human beings, tens of thousands of our brothers and sisters die. With our eyes, we've watched sickness, respirators, quarantines. And even those who like to make light of this know that the Shualim, the foxes of this past year, we've seen with our own eyes. People like us who are not used to seeing death and suffering in such a large-scale way. Only those who are insensitive don't feel that pain. V'anachnu boichim, and we're crying. Because we've watched something that's terribly tragic. And for many, it hasn't ended. Still, people who are sick. There are people who, since that time, have not been able to think the way they used to, see the way they used to. We have one of our chaverim here we all love, that he hasn't been able to see the same way. His eyes, other chaverim, in ways that they don't talk about. People who I know who are still suffering, headaches, terrible pains. The people here who know of loved ones who have loved ones who died. So there are, this past year was a year of Shualim Hilchubai. Have we gotten used to the fact that we can't even go to Eretz Yisrael the way that we always do? Have we gotten used to the fact that we can't live, and there were months that we weren't able to daven in shul, and there's still people who are not able to come, who are afraid to come? So Rabbi Kiva is this chaverim is rebbeim. Lamatem boichim, why are you crying? And they said, Rabbi Akiva, it says in the Pasuk, Zarakar of Yumas, but the foxes we see with our eyes, the promises of the future we believe in, but we are not on Yom Adrega. We're not living in that Pasuk. It's a Pasuk, but we're not living in it. This year, the Baruch Shalom wanted to see who lives in the world of Emunah. Who are the Jews that just have spoken about belief in God? Who are the Jews that have spent their entire lives quoting about Emunah and Bitochin? Who are the Jews that have spoken about or given shiurim on the subject of being Besimcha? And who are the ones who live in the world of Emunah and Bitochin? Who live in that world of the Baruch Shalom? For whom Yiddishkeit is a living thing. And the belief that Hashem is good and is kind is something which is alive. It's not a matter of a shiur, of a quote. Rabbi Kiva brought the tzaddikim on this journey with him. to that place. And they were able to come into that world on their madrega. We can't even imagine what that was. They were mamish able to see with their eyes what Rabbi Kiva was looking at. It was alive. It wasn't just a quotation. And they said, Akiva nicham tonu, Akiva nicham tonu. And it must be that they didn't just say Akiva nicham tonu. If we close our eyes for a second, we can imagine what that amazing day was like. And there's no question in my mind that after they said Akiva, Akiva, we understand we're there. Akiva nicham tonu. We see the children. We see the old people. We see the laughter of Yerushalayim. We see it mamish. We feel it mamish. And then they took each other's hands. And they did a rikud that day. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. So now let's go to the Seder. The din, according to many, this is what is what distinguishes Leil Pesach from the requirement to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every night, every day of our life. Chai avodim liris es atzmoi, kilu yotza mi Mitzrayim. Atzmoi, hu yotza. Chai avodim liris es atzmoi. The Baruch Shalom is saying, it's Pesach, Erev Pesach is coming Shabbat. I want you to join Rabbi Akiva and the other tzaddikim and to come with me into a Yiddishkeit that's not a Yiddishkeit just of quotations of Shneamars. It's not a Yiddishkeit that is purely intellectual and cold, but it's a Yiddishkeit that will keep you laughing and warm even though you're going through a dark time in life, even though Mashiach has not yet come, even though you're sometimes in Mitzrayim in a place of Moich in the Katnus, that you should be able to feel Asher Ge'olonu by Pesach, a taste of Asher Ge'olonu by Pesach. And this is maybe the oimek of what was going on in Bnei Brak. There is a lot of speculation regarding when that Seder took place. And of course, the most obvious question that everybody's talking about is why did it take place in Bnei Brak? Who was the Rav, who was the Mar Da'asra of Bnei Brak? Rabbi Kiva was the Rav of Bnei Brak. The question, why would it be that the Seder would be in Bnei Brak? It couldn't be in Yerushalayim. And there was no Korban Pesach. As I said before, Jews were not allowed into Yerushalayim at that time. It's quite clear. And yet they came to Rabbi Akiva, even though Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua were his rebellion. Why didn't they go to Keren B'Yavne? Why didn't it take place in Usha? These were the centers of Tyre after the Churban, where the Sanhedrin had moved, Keren B'Yavne to Usha and to Tveria. And it could be, again, it's not clear exactly when this Seder took place, but it could be that this was the first Pesach after the Churban. The first Pesach after that day when they were standing by Harat Seifim, and then they went down to the Harabayas and they were watching the animals running around by the Harabayas, and there was laughing and crying, and it ended with laughing and with a rikud. So we understand why they would want to come to Rabbi Akiva. They wanted to be in the Dal Amas of that Tzadik Yisrael Olam who has more than any other person who ever lived, who has the ability to somehow bring us out from that place of Churban, to bring us out from a Yiddishkeit of Mishum Shenemar, and to bring us into a place of Akivin Nechamtonu, Akivin Nechamtonu. To bring us to the Yibes HaMedrash of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Therefore we understand, let's just finish up. Afilu kulonu chachamim, kulonu nevoinim, kulonu yoidim es ha-Torah kula. Afilu kulonu chachamim, kulonu nevoinim, you could be the biggest chachim in the world. You could be the biggest nevoin. You could be a person that knows all of Torah. But it doesn't mean that you know how to tell the story. Because as you know, the word Sipur, V'chol Amar B'Lesaper, and that the Chacham was saying they were Mesapim B'Tzias Yisrael, Mesapim B'Tzias Yisrael, K'lo Yisrael Laila, that Mesapim the Sfarim say comes from the word Sapir, which means a shining light, a sapphire. Because the issue that was at that moment, what was most desperately needed after the Churban was to put our lives back together. And to put our lives back together is not going to happen just because of Chachamim and Nevoinim, just because we know a lot of Torah. That's also absolutely urgent. And the yeshiva was built in Keren B'Yavne, and the survivors built yeshivas, and the survivors started again teaching Torah 1,000,000%. You can't survive. Jews can't live without Torah. But they said, Akiva, Akiva, Besotzibach, and it's Pesach, it's the first Yontif, I'm just speculating, it's the first Pesach after the Churban. And on that day when we felt we couldn't go on, somehow you know how to do that. Please, Rabbi Kiva, we need the Hischaskas. We need the story, we need the story, because we're like children who are falling asleep, who need to stay awake to wait for Mashiach. And to keep Jews awake, it's not enough to say Lomdus. This is a major problem that we're having now in Yiddishkeit. When Hashem Yisbach gave us the luchais, cheirus, freedom meant chorus ala luchais. Al tikri chorus, what? Ala cheirus. The luchas were engraved. And chorus means that something which, it's not just kolonu chacham, kolonu levoinu, kolonu miyoidim es ha-Torah. It means the Baruch Hashem wants Yiddishkeit, like Rabbi Akiva was feeling it, like Rabbi Akiva was seeing it. That it's chorus, that it's engraved in you. It's who you are. And now we can understand. The Mishnah, Imsachim, V'choyseim, Megu'ula. The Mishnah is talking about the Baruch of Asher Go'olonu that we say by the second part of the Seder. V'choyseim, Megu'ula. Rabbi Tarfon Oimer. Rabbi Tarfon was also at the Seder of B'nai Brak. It says, Rabbi Tarfon Oimer, Asher Go'olonu V'golos Avosein of Loyo Yechoyseim. Rabbi Tarfon said the Baruch Asher Go'olonu V'golos Avoseinu, that he redeemed us and our ancestors from Mitzrayim. But he did not end the Baruch. That was the whole Baruch according to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Rabbi Kiva says, Cain, he says the ending that we have. Cain Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Yigiyenu l'mayadim l'regolim acherim haboyim l'kraseinu l'shalom smeichim b'binyan yirecha b'sosim b'avodasecha v'noichol shomen ha'psochim v'nazvachim. That's how Rabbi Kiva ended the bracha. Cain Hashem Elokeinu, why are you ending over there, Galon of Golos Avoseinu? He took out his Hades and Bobbies. Rabbi Kiva starts to scream out, Kein Hashem lo keinu lo keva senu yigien lo ma'adim lo regolim acherim. What does it mean? The ma'adim regolim acherim. Magen Avraham talks about in Tofresh Pevov how if you have a certain city and there was a nace that took place where the Jews in that city were going to be killed, there was a gzeirah, and they were saved. There was a miracle that took place that the Bnei Ha'ir can make a takonah that's binding upon them and their descendants, that there should be a day, a holiday like Purim for that city, where they have a day of celebration that they were saved. So I once heard a pshat in what Rabbi Akiva says. We want different kind of yontivs. We had already enough yontivs where the yontiv is because they almost killed us and we survived. All of our Yom Tovim are like that. All of these celebrations that we have, even Shavuos is the chesima of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and even there was a pachad of Kofalem Harakigigis, and we survived. So I heard somebody, I don't remember where I heard this, somebody said that when Rabbi Akiva ended the brach, and he was saying, why are you ending with Goalenu, Goalas Havaseinu? We're asking you for a different kind of a yontif. An under a yontif, a different yontif. Not a yontif where we almost died, or many of us died, and the survivors were able to somehow, you miraculously took us out. And that we somehow survived that churban. Like in our generation, Rabbi Akiva is saying, Rebbeinu Shlom, the time has come, we're begging you for a different kind of a yontif. Not a yontif of survival. Not a yontif where there was a nace that 1/5 of us were able to get out. Because even by Mitzrayim, it was chamushim olu. So now we can understand. Let's finish. Hillel Azakein, I think you all know that Hillel is the Rosh HaTeivos. HaRoyfe L'Shvuei Lev. Hillel Azakein was the Adam Echad She'olam Mibavel. The world was besieged by confusion, Churban, just like this past year. This whole world that we're in now is Bavel. Bilbulim, bilbulim, without end. But there was an Adam Echad, Sha'alami Bava. And he says, Halacha zu shamati v'shachachti. Again, I don't have time to go into that right now. You looked at Bnei Sosra, others from talk about why they could figure it, how could it be? But maybe it means, according to what we're learning. I don't remember the Pasuk. I don't remember the Drasha. Right now it escapes me. I've had a hard time. I don't remember my learning right now. I don't remember the drasha from Shema and Naftali that I learned that day in yeshiva years ago. It's been a while. And I've been through some suffering since then. I don't remember the drasha. Give me a little bit, I'll remember it. I don't remember it now. But Hanach Lehem Yisrael. M'lo Nevi'im Heim B'nei Nevi'im Heim. Let's go see what the Jews are doing because they're the children of prophets. Hillel was saying, maybe it was this. I don't remember the quotation. I don't remember the drasha. I feel the kolon chacham kolon nevarim. I don't remember. But let's go. Let's go away from that right now, and we'll take a walk on the streets of Yerushalayim. And we'll toivel in that mikveh that's called Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. And maybe we'll be zoiche to see something that Jews just do because they know, they somehow intuitively, not because any of those people on the street, if we stop them, we say, hey, how do you know to put the knife inside the animal's fur? How do you know to do that? Where does it say that? You say, I don't know, I saw my Zaidi did that. I don't know. I don't know any psukim. I don't know. You're Hillel, you're supposed to be a big Talmud Chacham. He saw with his eyes the Jews were walking Erev Pesach, Shabbos Erev Pesach, like this year, a day that's shining with Gula. They were walking up to the Harabayas. with the animals, with the knives in such a way. A lebedike Yiddishkeit. A Yiddishkeit that's alive. Not just because of the drush, and then he remembered the drush. Oh, yeah, kach mikublani. Kach mikublani. One time, a long time ago, I heard this. But I'm seeing it with my eyes, because Jews are Nevi'im and B'nai Nevi'im. So let me end with a story I told you in the past, but I have a cheshek to share with you again. Yosef Kosof, we have to end with Lashon HaBar B'Yerushalayim. And the reason that I wanted to share this Torah with you is because I wanted all of us to be able to do this Riku together also in Yerushalayim. That I wanted until that day happens that we should be able to sometimes close our eyes, especially Pesach, and to come to taste a little bit of me'ain something of that Yiddishkeit of Chayv Adam Liris is Atzmai. Not just the Yiddishkeit of Shenemar. The Yiddishkeit of Shenemar doesn't bring a person, not one person, back to shul. You understand what I'm saying? A Yiddishkeit of Shenemar doesn't set a person's heart on fire. A Yiddishkeit of Shenemar doesn't give you the reassurance to be able to be besimcha, to be able to laugh when there's so many crazy things going on around us in the world. A Yiddishkeit that's only in psukim will only allow you to cower in a corner someplace and cry. So many years ago, again, I'm just repeating a story that you know. Hakol Nibudvo doesn't mean that Hashem created the world thousands of years ago. You understand? Because it's written Bereishis Bara Elokim. Shahakol Nibudvo means that this second, Shahakol Nibudvo, right here, now, me and you, every second. The Sar Shalom from Bells, Chusir Yelena. Or should I tell you, no, he was the Kodesh Kedoshim himself. And his Rebbe in Malka, we even have some stories from his Rebbe in Malka. The other tzaddikim said that the Sar Sholem and his Rebbe were like Adam and Chav and Gan Eden before the Chayt. That's what they used to say about them. And the youngest daughter was Freidela. That was her name, Freidela. And this little girl, the Sar Sholem said, even when she was a little girl, she really should be the biggest Rebbe in the world. She just doesn't have a shtreimel. And one Pesach night, as it is with children, she was struggling to stay awake. She was so tired. So by the meal, whatever, she fell asleep. And they didn't wake her up. They had Rachmanis on her. So she missed what for many, many children is the most exciting time. The time of opening the door for Leonovi, Shvoi Chamascha. She only woke up by Chag Gadya, and she began to cry hysterically. How come nobody woke her up? Because in Bells, when they opened the door for Leonovi, some of you might remember what was going on over there. So we open up the door, and maybe sing a little nigim, we do a little riku, that's what we do. And we all nod our heads and we tell the children, Yishum Shenemar, it is written. So it is written that Elionavi is here. So it is written. But in Bells, the Sar Shalom from Bells would go with the family and the Chassidim with torches. And everybody was waiting in their homes. Bells was not a big place. Everybody was waiting in their homes for the Rebbe to come with the procession. The whole town went, hundreds of Jews went with torches to the big shul. Now you've all seen, who have been zeichet to be in Yerushalayim, you've all seen the replica of the big shul. Can't miss it. the Belzer Shul, the Belzer Shul in Yerushalayim. But you might not know, some of you might not know, that how that shul came to be, that the Tzar Shalom stayed up 1,000 nights. He didn't go to sleep for a moment. There's a Kabbalah that a person who's able to stay up learning without interruption for 1,000 nights is Zeichet Gilio. It was Halmaisa and how it happened. And he had Gilio Elio, and Elio Navi was Megalatim, certain secrets of how that shul should be built exactly to certain specifications. And the Tzar Shalom had that shul built to those specifications that was revealed to him by Elio Navi on the 1,000th night. So every Pesach, when it came time, Elio Navi, the Tzar Shalom would lead the entire town, and they would walk in the night, and they would go to accompany the Elio Navi to take him to the shul, to his shul. There's all kinds of singing and rikudim with Elio Navi. And they would come back, and they would finish the Seder. So little Shredula had missed that. She couldn't come to herself. And of course, the women, everybody was trying, they were trying to distract her, you know, with kids and do things, make her happy, whatever. Kunish herself. She couldn't be consoled. And the Tzar Shalom said, Shredula, for you, we're going to open the door again, Elio Navi. For you. We're going to open the door again, Elio Navi. And they did. And he did the same thing, the whole business. And people didn't know what was going on, but they saw that the Belzer Rebbe was going, they came out again. Everybody went with the Rebbe, and they did, and Fadel is marching in the front. You know why I love that story? It's a very sweet story. But the deepest reason that I love that story, I know why. For many reasons, but one of the reasons I find that story, I think about always this time of the year. Because you and I often feel that we just missed the door being open, you know? That we missed it. That somehow it's fafal, that we fell asleep. And you wake up at the end of the Seder and it's fafal. I'm already 30, I'm already 40, I'm already 50, I'm already 60, I'm already 70, I'm already 80, and so on, think it's fafal. But the child fell asleep. And the Belzer Rebbe said, for you, Fedele, we're going to open up a second time. Being a Jew means believing. But the Baruch Shalom says by Pesach to each and every one of us, for you, Yitzhak Yoyer, for you, Moshe David, for each and every one of us, for you, I open up a second time, a third time, a fourth time. Come with me to greet Elio Navi. Come with me, we're going to go to Yerushalayim. Hashem is Baruch should help each and every one of us. We should be zeichet to know that Hashem wants us to go to the Belzer Rebbe on that trip. It's going to go way beyond that shul that the Nazis destroyed. It's going to take us back to the new shul in Yerushalayim and to continue on to the Har HaBayis. Finally, we're going to be zeichet to see Rabbi Akiva and the other Tanoim and David Malka Mashiach and to do that riku that we've been waiting to do all of these years. And to see the children and the old people laughing on the streets of Yerushalayim, the glush of Amitis, Mehebi Amen, Amen, Amen. Amen.